Reading today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 24. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him."
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Vivian, for reading that passage, especially with all those name places. You did really well with that. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums here. I hope you get sport rotten today. And for the rest of us, if you haven't organized anything already, it's not too late. So there's still time to put those last minute plans together. Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for the privilege that it is for us to come together on this Mother's Day to sit under your word. And we pray, Father, as we look at the events in Acts chapter 2, open up our hearts, Lord, open up our eyes and our minds to see what you are doing, to know that you are active in this world. And we pray, Lord, that you are active this morning in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It'd be great if you have your Bibles open. Also, as Michael mentioned, that if any questions come up, just jot them down and hopefully we'll have a question and answer time at the end of this. And welcome, especially if it's your first time with us today. It's great that you can join us and it can be here today. There are certain events that change the world. There are game changers. It was quite a few years ago that I still remember. There we were watching TV in the bedroom. The whole family was gathered around and we were watching as a plane had crashed into the World Trade Center. We couldn't believe what we were seeing. We were glued to the TV trying to make sense of what was happening. As the media, as the news was trying to work out what was happening. And then as we're watching another plane fly straight into the second building. And who can forget when all of a sudden those buildings just collapsed. After 9/11, the world was never the same again. All of a sudden, no one seemed safe. The world changed that day. And we see the effects today that, you know, you get on a plane and you can only carry a small bottle of liquid because of 9/11, because of what took place. I remember teaching scripture and at school. And in the lesson, I was talking about a car, and it was an old car, and I was talking about it being an old bomb. And the kids just reacted, yeah, you can't say that. You can't say that word. It was a totally different context. I was talking about a car, but you can't use that word because of 9/11. I didn't know that. The world was never going to be the same again. Certain events that changed the world. For the people in Germany, for the people who might have been a little bit older, it might have been when the Berlin Wall finally came down after 27 years of dividing East and West. Maybe for today, people living in the UK, maybe it's Brexit. Maybe that's what they're going to look back on and to see that the world changed for them. Or for us on a personal level, getting married, having a baby, a health scare, a personal crisis. There are certain events that are game changers. They change the way that we see the world. Is it safe? What's going on? Where is my place in this world? Where do I fit in? Acts chapter 2 this morning is a game changer. It's one of those events. The day of Pentecost is so huge that the world is never going to be the same again. There's no way the world can go back to the way that it used to be. And as we look at Acts chapter 2, I hope that as we see these, it's not just an intellectual exercise, it's not just something looking back at the things back then. I hope that it'll change the way that we see our world and where we fit in, what's going on. We're going to look at three things this morning. If you're taking notes, we're going to look at the event, what happened on the day of Pentecost. We're going to look at the explanation, what did it mean. Initially, I had the response as point three, but when I was preaching this at the 8:30 service, somebody came up afterwards, gave me another E word. Exclamation is what they suggested. So the exclamation, what was the response? So the event, the explanation, the exclamation. So first of all, the event of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now Pentecost, the name, the word itself, it just means 50th. That's what Pentecost means. It means 50th. Back then it was a Jewish festival that took place 50 days, roughly 50 days after Passover. That's why it's called Pentecost, 50th. In the Old Testament it's also called the Feast of Weeks, because it was 7 weeks after Passover. It's also called the Feast of Harvest, because it's at harvest time. But it was a festival that was celebrated year after year. People would come from all over the place to Jerusalem every year. But this year, Pentecost was different. Take a look at verse 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Jack, we've just gone to the next slide there. The 120 disciples that we saw last week, if you're here in Acts chapter 1, they gather together into this room and they hear what sounds like a violent wind. They see with their eyes what looks like tongues of fire coming down on each one of them. And the way that Luke describes it, it's like he's trying to describe it as best as he can, because this has never happened before. It seems like this. A violent wind, supernatural fire. Actually, both of those in the Old Testament, they're both connected with God. And for the 120 that they're in that room, there's no mistake, this is God. And this is God doing something extraordinary. Luke tells us that all 120 of them, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues. Now, it's not other tongues that Paul seems to be talking about in 1 Corinthians 14 or that some charismatic churches talk about. It's not that. Here it's speaking other languages, languages that people understand. It's just that these are languages that's not naturally their own. What we see here is a miracle. Look at verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They're coming in for the feast. When they heard this sound, a crowd comes together. There must have been a ruckus, this big commotion, as these disciples start speaking and people are listening. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And there are people there from all over the place. They come from coming in for the festival. There are people there from Parthia, Media, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Egypt, Libya, Rome, Cretans, Arabs. And each one hears the disciples declaring the wonders of God in their own tongue, in their own language. It's a little bit like me. You know, all of a sudden as I'm speaking here, giving this sermon, all of a sudden I switch into perfect Chinese, which if you know me, doesn't really work. That would be a miracle. But actually it's more than that. It's like speaking perfect Russian or Arabic, Swahili. And it's not after years of practice and language lessons. It's straight away. That's what's happening here at this event at Pentecost. God is doing an amazing work. And even more than that, God is doing a new work. The people must have been reminded of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai in Exodus, that big event for the Israelites. Especially because at this time, at this festival, at this feast of Pentecost, the Jews celebrated the giving of the law to Moses at Mount Sinai. That would have been in their mind at this feast here. And when the people of Israel were gathered at Mount Sinai that first time, if you remember from Exodus, there was thunder and lightning and fire, just like there is here. At Mount Sinai, the first time, God was doing something new. Back then, he was forming the people of Israel to be his people. It was a new work. All of a sudden, they become his people back there in Exodus. And here in Acts chapter 2, God is doing something new again. But it's even greater than Mount Sinai. Because at Sinai, it was just the Israelites who heard the word of God. But here in verse 5, it's representatives from every nation under heaven. This is Mount Sinai blown 1,000 times bigger. This is a new work where the wonders of God are being declared in the languages of the world. It's the reverse of the Tower of Babel. Remember from Genesis chapter 11, this is the reverse of that. Acts chapter 2, it's a new age. This is a game changer if we understand what's going on. And so what does this mean? In verse 12, that's what the crowd asks. They're scratching their heads. What does this mean, they ask? And Peter stands up and he gives the explanation. So the event is that the Holy Spirit is poured out. The explanation, here's what it means, point two. And Peter says two things. The first is this. Peter says to the crowd, what you're seeing, the Holy Spirit being poured out, this is what the prophet Joel said would happen. Pick it up in verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's quoting from Joel. Joel was a prophet in the Old Testament. And God had promised in the book of Joel that there was going to be a time coming in the future. It was going to be a time of deliverance. In the last days, everyone, not just the Jews, not just the people of Israel, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This great deliverance, this salvation, is of such cosmic significance that the sun will be turned to darkness, just like it did when Jesus was crucified, and the moon would turn to blood. It's Joel's way of saying that this day is of such huge significance, the universe itself, the sun and the stars, they're going to be shaken. God is going to save. He's doing something new. And in the last days, when he does this new work, in the last days when this happens, God is going to pour out his spirit. And Peter says, That's exactly what is happening now. The last days when God said, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. That's now. When he said, your sons and daughters will prophesy, young and old men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. It is those days that Joel was talking about. What he was talking about there, that is happening right now in front of you. You see, in the Old Testament, God would sometimes raise up a prophet who would speak the word of God. That's what prophesying is. Sometimes God would give his spirit to some people, some of the time. But here, it's actually growing far greater than it was ever in the Old Testament. Here, it's actually everyone. Everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord has the Holy Spirit, has the Spirit of God. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord has the Spirit of God, and they'll speak the Word of God. And if you're a Christian here today, if you call on the name of the Lord, that's us. That's us that Peter's talking about. So do you see how Peter starts the explanation? The crowd asks, what does this mean? And Peter says, what God said through Joel 500 years ago, that's happening right now in front of your eyes. And then he goes to his second point. He points to Jesus, what this is actually all about. And he says four things about Jesus. We'll just go through it quickly. We didn't have time to read it out, but take a look at verse 22. Peter talks about the life of Jesus. He was accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Peter says, you want to understand what's going on as these people are speaking in different languages? It's got to do with Jesus. He is that big. You know the miracles he did. You saw it yourself. The life of Jesus, the second he talked about, his death, the death of Jesus. Verse 23. He was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. It was only 50 days ago that those events took place. 50 days ago that you put him to death. But it was God's plan. It was part of God's purpose. His life, his death. Third, God raised him from the dead, his resurrection. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. And then Peter quotes Psalm 16, God would not abandon his king, his holy one, to the grave. God raised Jesus to life, and we're witnesses. We've seen him. All of us have seen him. The resurrection. And then his exaltation, verse 33. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. The reason why the Holy Spirit has come is because Jesus has gone to heaven and he's been given the authority of God. He's at God's right hand, and because of that, he can pour out the Holy Spirit. And here's the punchline. Here's what all of this means. Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, his exaltation. This is the conclusion in verse 36. Peter says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. Here's the explanation. Here's the conclusion. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's what it means. What all of this has been coming towards. What does it mean? Joel is fulfilled. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one who pours out the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one in whose name you can be saved. Jesus is the one who's in charge of everything. He is God's King. He is the Lord of history, the Lord of time. He's the Lord even of us. So we see the event of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit poured out. The explanation, Jesus is Lord and Christ. And then the exclamation, the response, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Cut to the heart. They'd realized they'd strung up the Lord of life. They'd realized that they had just 50 days ago shouted, crucify him, crucify him. You know, it can actually be quite embarrassing when you don't recognize someone. I'm sure you might have done that, that you come across somebody that they know who you are. They have this chat and you can't quite spot who they are. There's a person by the name of Thomas Beecham, Sir Thomas Beecham. In one of his biographies, he was a famous conductor back in the 1900s. He was at this event. He was chatting to this woman, a woman who was quite dignified, noble, well-dressed. Kind of recognized, but couldn't quite work out her name. Her name was Victoria, but you know, he couldn't remember it at the time. He recognized her face, but couldn't work out on the spot who she was. So he tried to buy some time. He pretended he knew who she was, and so you know, asked about her family. How's your family doing? And she replied, her brother was sick. Okay, you know, maybe this is his chance to get a clue, to get a clue about who she was. Just remind me, what does your brother do again? And she replied, oh, he's still the king. He was talking to Princess Victoria, the sister of the King of England. Now, to miss out, to miss the fact that you were talking to a princess, that'd be pretty embarrassing. Just imagine, to crucify the King of Kings, who's going to judge the living and the dead. That is disastrous. No wonder they're cut to the heart saying, brothers, what do? We've crucified God's king. Is there any hope? And Peter replies, there is hope. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And there's this great promise, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Peter says to the people back then, and even to us, if we have turned our backs on the Lord Jesus Christ and we haven't recognized who he is, he actually says, turn back to God. Repent. It's not too late. There is hope. And in verse 41, 3,000 that day, they were cut to the heart and they believed. And they were added to the number of the disciples that day. The event, the explanation, the exclamation. There's this TV show that's probably our kids' favorite. It's called Operation Ouch. Don't expect most people to watch it unless you watch ABC for Kids. But you know, it's Operation Ouch. It's a show which is about medical procedures and about the human body. And because it's through the eyes of a kid, it's not too gruesome. It sort of makes it interesting and just goes through all sorts of different facts. And it goes through all sorts of different procedures as well. There was a kid on one particular episode, a kid by the name of Matthew. Now, Matthew was born deaf, and so he'd never actually heard a word in his life. But Matthew had a cochlear implant put into him. And they showed him getting the implant, and they showed after the operation, just to make sure it's going well, they turned the cochlear implant on. Switched it on and tested the hearing and went through a series of beeps. And when he heard a sound, he'd put this an object into a bowl. And then as they're going through this test, his father, who's sitting behind him, says, Matthew. And you see Matthew's face, he's a bit surprised. Dad, did you say my name? You know, to actually hear his father's voice for the first time, you know, it just lit up his face. There's this big smile as he realizes he can hear his father's voice. For the first time. Now for Matthew, being able to hear, it was a game changer. His world, getting his hearing back, well, it was never going to be the same again. In Acts chapter 2, Pentecost is a game changer. You know, to actually hear because of the Holy Spirit, because we have forgiveness, because we can be brought into relationship with God, we can call God our Heavenly Father and we can hear his voice. If we understand what Pentecost is about, this world, our world, should never be the same again. God is doing a new work, even greater than what took place at Mount Sinai. This is a new age of the Spirit. This is a new age of people coming to Christ, a new age that everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. And the question this morning, are you part of it? Are you part of this new age that God has brought in? You might be new to church. It's great to have you with us. You might be coming to church for years. You might be somebody who's sitting there that, yeah, you think Jesus is nice. He's somebody to respect. He's actually worth checking in on every now and then. And so when you've got the chance, you try to listen to him. You try to read the Bible. You know, for you, Jesus might be all sorts of things. Somebody who's a great teacher. But maybe he's not Lord. Maybe he's not king, boss, master. You've never given him that title before. You've never given him that authority, that place in your life. What does Peter say who Jesus is? He is Lord and Christ. He's the Lord of the universe. He's loving, yes. He is a great teacher, but don't mistake who he is. Don't make that mistake of not recognizing, you know, the princess, not recognizing the Christ, God's Christ. Turn back to God, repent. You know, this morning, put your life at the feet of Jesus. Put all of your life at the feet of Jesus. Have you done that yet? And here's the promise that Acts chapter 2 gives us. If you do that, you have your sins forgiven. There's this great promise that we can walk out of here with all of our sin, all of our guilt, all that we've ever done wrong, washed away, gone, because Jesus dies for us. And I tell you what, knowing the forgiveness of Jesus, having all of that washed away, surely that's got to be a game changer in our life, if we understand the grace of God. And if you are a Christian here today, and I suspect a lot of us already are, I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is, do you know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? This isn't the time of comfort. This is not the time of complacency. This isn't the time of being post 9/11. It's not the time of Donald Trump or Turnbull or budgets or housing markets. It's the time of the Spirit. This is the time when God pours out his Spirit on people like us. In verse 39, that's actually us there. Those who are far off. We are included in this. Do we know what time it is? Whether you're young or old, male or female, we prophesy. The word of God goes out from us. And as we do that, that is what prophesying is, telling people about Jesus. Everyone who hears and calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. And so tell people about Jesus, about his life, death, resurrection, exaltation. Because the time that we live in, the time of the Spirit, it's the last days. These are the last days that God has given us, that our friends and our family around us, it's the last days for them to hear about Jesus before he comes again and before it's too late. Do we know what time it is? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Friends, we have the Holy Spirit. It is a game changer. And I pray that as we let Acts chapter 2, what Pentecost means, as we let that sink into our lives, I pray that your world and my world will never be the same again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for what we see here in Acts chapter 2. Father, we thank you that you are a God who has poured out your Holy Spirit even on us, that through your Spirit we can come to know Jesus, that we can have forgiveness of sins. And we pray, Lord, that we understand that as we understand that these events includes us, Lord, we pray that you help us to see clearly what time it is, that this is a time that we want to be living for you with Jesus, our King, that this is a time for the Spirit to go out as we tell people about Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen.